is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
We're taking a pause from the many candidate interviews we've been doing lately, both locally and with candidates for governor and other elective office in Oregon, because we wanted to address a topic that is noted this month. March is designated as Problem Gambling Awareness Month, and I suspect that gambling is one of those subjects that's a little, maybe not everybody has is on the same playing field, I guess is how I would explain it. Tom Sorrell's with us from ADAPT to kind of help us unpack the issue. I guess, Tom, my question first of all is, how would you define problem gambling?
Well, thanks, Kyle, and it's good to be with you again, as always. Well, you know, problem gambling, it's much like other behavioral health problems, addictions, compulsive behaviors, and so on. It just involves the behavior of gambling, obviously, rather than drug abuse, I suppose, which is more what people comes to mind when you think of addiction traditionally. We used to really think of addiction as sort of a physical or psychological dependence on something that was needed for the person to function. Usually it's associated with a physical dependence, say on a drug or something. We know a lot more about addiction now, and it's a pretty complex problem. So these days we would really define addiction as more of a compulsive, rewarding behavior, or a behavior that temporarily alleviate symptoms of some kind of emotional or other distress, but which is, has potentially harmful consequences for ourselves or others, and which we find difficult to stop. So reward, mostly about relief from those symptoms of emotional or mental distress, and could come from lots of sources, often comes from earlier traumatic experience in life. So any behavior that provides that momentary relief can become an addiction, and it includes a wide range of behaviors, not just drug use. So gambling is actually the kind of behavior that really can produce that kind of short-term reward and relief, leading the person to seek out more and more of that relief compulsively, and then can lead to very negative consequences. So it can certainly develop into an addiction, or at least a serious problem.
So it sounds like then the issues, some of the psychological components there that you talked about, it's that you have these issues and you end up channeling it in a direction related to gambling, but you could have the same situation, not have gambling be an issue, but it could be drugs, alcohol, sexual addiction, things like that.
Yeah, exactly, Kyle. I mean, we really believe these days that addictive behaviors, and really many other mental health disorders, are really just sort of about a dysfunctional way a person has of coping with some extreme stressor in their life. And as I say, often coming from earlier trauma. And, a lot of the studies of addiction, for instance, really find that addiction specifically, not even going into all the studies and research we have about other addictions, but, I'd say roughly 75% of pathological gamblers have defined history of traumatic early experiences, and it does sort of show up in their particular way of coping, which just in this case happens to be the gambling behavior. But the behavior itself is important. We all know what rewards people get from drugs. But with gambling, it's more the excitement, one feels at the possibility of winning and gaining that rush of anticipated reward and relief of emotional distress that comes with that. And at the same time, avoiding the risk, which is also its own kind of reward. And it's a very powerful motivation to continue that behavior. And anytime you sort of have that reward dynamic, especially that risk reward dynamic, that can really play out with a wide range of behaviors. And, you know, gambling is just sort of tailor-made to become a kind of addiction based on that kind of reward dynamic.
So just to get it straight, for instance, somebody who has a glass or two of wine or beer or something else, and that's it, and, you know, their life continues otherwise uninfected or unaffected by that, you could also be somebody who likes to gamble, and there are obviously various ways to do that, and just have a little fun with it periodically and walk away. And just because you are gambling doesn't mean you are a problem gambler, correct?
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. Again, it's much like other addictions in this respect as well. It's often difficult for someone to see that they're suffering from an addiction or to recognize the extent of the problem, or even that a problem exists. We're all probably familiar with the concept of denial in addiction, but there are good warning signs for anyone struggling with addictive behaviors that if they know what to look for, if others know what to look for, they can identify it as a problem. And, you know, I think the most obvious sign something may be wrong if you're concerned or others are concerned about your gambling behaviors is of course the financial loss, but that's not, you know, necessary for there to be a problem. Other signs, you know, could be like preoccupation with the behavior, thinking about it obsessively, ruminating on it, having a single-minded focus on the next episode of gambling, neglecting, you know, your responsibilities in life. Maybe your boss has confronted you or your spouse, and you've been told that your job performance is poor, or you've missed days you shouldn't have missed, or maybe your family's noticed that you're more isolated and disengaged from family activities, spending a lot of time in the gambling behavior at the expense of family obligations. You could also be finding yourself keeping the behavior a secret. That's a good sign if you feel you have to hide the behavior. And of course, just with any addiction, repeated negative consequences from the behavior, while you still find it very difficult or even just feeling impossible to discontinue the behavior, that's really a defining characteristic of most all addictions. And with gambling particularly, more, you know, looking for more and more risk to achieve the same reward is also a clear symptom. It's kind of like the idea of building up a physical tolerance in drug addiction. So you're going for more risk and more risk and more risk, but your reward doesn't necessarily increase. So lots of ways you can see a problem in your behavior if you know what to look for.
I'm aware of someone who once was definitely a problem gambler, but they were a successful gambler, and that really led to it being a bigger problem. I don't remember specifically what kind of gambling they did, but they had really researched it and they'd figured out how to make a decent amount of money doing it. And that success continued. But what happened as well, though, was that they were gone a lot, and they were out buying things they probably shouldn't have been buying because they were bringing in all this extra money. And that caused a whole series of other things that didn't have a very good end. Even though they were good at gambling, they sure had a problem.
Yeah, I think that sort of touches on a real fundamental misunderstanding about gambling and its consequences, both you know, positive and negative. And that is that it's just a matter of the money. I mean, if you've got all the money in the world, you can gamble as much as you like, right, or something. And while it might be the most common negative effect you might see in people, that they don't do very well at the gambling tables and aren't financially successful at it or something, that's not really, you know, a necessary component for there to be a problem. Compulsive behaviors of any kind can have lots and lots of destructive effects, even when real money isn't even on the line. Just, you know, just obsession and alienation from loved ones and disengagement from constructive, healthy activities and neglecting responsibilities and so on. You know, it can even increase to such a degree that the compulsion leads to neglecting your physical health, and the behavior may even cause real serious physical health problems. Some behaviors like this become severe enough the person, you know, might actually prefer the behavior over sleep or food or or other, you know, healthcare essentials, and can develop a real medical issue. And of course, at the end of the day, all of this goes together to just lead naturally to depression or anxiety and a host of other mental health and emotional concerns. So losing money or making money or going into debt and all of that is a very, you know, big deal, of course, but it's far from the only negative potential consequence of problem gambling.
How big an issue is problem gambling in Oregon? I mean, what kind of percentage of the population is impacted?
Well, it's interesting. So, in Oregon, it's kind of estimated in normal non-COVID years, and we can say more about that, of course. That sort of skews everything we do in the behavioral health field, because it's such a unique historical era that we're in. But in normal years, about 3% of the adult population experience either moderate or serious problems with gambling. And all told, that's maybe 90,000 or so adults and even adolescents that meet some clinical diagnosis for gambling disorder. And probably twice that are at risk of developing such a problem. And then, you know, for each person who it does go on to develop a problem or has one, that affects many others, you know, spouses and children and, you know, extended family and even their extended community. And so it has a bigger impact than just the sheer numbers of folks who have the specific problem themselves might suggest.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. Tom Sorrells from ADEPT. March, Problem Gambling Awareness Month. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com. Inside Douglas County, 1247 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson coming at 1. Later, Umpqua Valley Live, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. We've got some live music this afternoon and a number of guests as we look at arts, entertainment, and community activities happening around the Umpqua Valley. Back to some political interviews for part of next week. We'll talk with Republican candidate for Governor Bill Sizemore on Mondays inside Douglas County. Well, Problem Gambling Awareness Month, the topic, Tom Sorrells from ADEPT with us. Has the issue, Tom, of problem gambling worsened during the pandemic?
Yeah, I think we have to say so. I think that's going to be true for almost any behavioral health problem we look at. I know that OHA, Oregon Health Authority, did conduct an impact survey among adults in Oregon pretty recently on how much COVID-19 has affected rates of problem gambling addiction, and found that it was about 3 times what they sought during pre-COVID days. So now it's around 9% or so of the population. It's pretty striking when you consider that land-based gambling venues like casinos and so on had more restricted access for much of the pandemic, and we still saw that increase. Of course, you know, we also saw a huge increase in online gambling during that time. But I think the real factor, you know, what's really worth mentioning again in the context of COVID is that problem gambling and other mental health and behavioral health issues just have a lot to do with dysfunctional attempts to cope with, like I said before, with these big, distressing, traumatic experiences. And I think we can certainly count the COVID crisis in all its many dimensions as a hugely distressing event for many, many people. And again, people with pathological problems, you know, behavioral problems like gambling, addiction, and so on, that just is a very big risk factor for them. So, you know, these experiences can result in a long-term emotional crises, and any escape or relief is going to be sought out again and again and again. And after enough time, those negative consequences that you might get, however severe, they won't matter. And it's one of the reasons I think problem gambling is such an issue, is that those intermittent rewards you get, no matter how often you might also lose, they just become kind of irresistible. The anticipation that this time you might win is a very powerful stimulation for the problem gambler, and it's in fact really the reward. So gambling behaviors are just almost perfectly designed to work on that principle of anticipated and unexpected reward, which is really at the heart of most addictions.
Are men more likely to have this issue than women?
Yes, for some reason. It's always a complicated question when we ask about gender prevalence in these things. But yes, very much so. Men are about 7 or 8 times more likely to develop the problem than women. Interestingly, men and women, they gamble at about the same rate. So there's something going on with men that causes this pronounced difference. And there are just lots of studies about it that tend to show different things. But studies show that men are generally less risk averse than women, generally more impulsive and so on. So that's just at the level of broad generalization. But research also shows, I think it's another interesting factor, that women begin their problem gambling at least. That tends to hit them later in life for some reason. And if you look at older cohorts, people in their 50s and 60s, women actually make up a larger percentage of problem gambling in those groups. So, and once they start gambling, once women, at-risk women, start gambling, they seem to develop a problem more quickly than men. So a lot of factors. It's an interesting question, and you see these interesting gender differences in any behavior, really, that you look at. It's always a very complicated question.
What about the long-range impact of problem gambling on families?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's very serious, or it can be very serious, just like any other addiction. Long-term impacts can just vary depending on the severity of the problem itself. That's one way we have of looking at addictions these days, is on a kind of a continuum from mild and moderate up to severe disorders. But for mild, disorders, you might just, like we said before, have a difficult time disengaging from the gambling behaviors, and you spend more time with it than you really should. But for more severe cases, you can find all the problems that you might see in severe substance use disorder, for instance, profound emotional distress. Of course, with gambling, long-term credit problems and even financial ruin, but also family disintegration, co-occurring mental health disorders that you're more at risk for if you're a problem gambler, certainly job loss, homelessness, even physical health problems. Like we said before, these kinds of behaviors can lead you to neglect your health. And I think, most tragically, all of these behaviors and all of these addictive, these problem behaviors with addiction can lead to suicide. And that's, we all know that. A leading cause of suicide is just this feeling of helplessness and futility you get, that you don't have the power to alter the course of your life and change your circumstances for the better. And that's certainly what it feels like to be immersed in an addiction. So gambling can lead to more risk-averse behaviors as well. You can just seek out that risk in other ways, and those can be dangerous behaviors in and of themselves. So lots of risk, lots of long-term consequences that are possible.
How do you know if you've crossed over to having a problem and as opposed to just a fun occasional hobby?
Yeah, I think it's a bit like what we were discussing before. I mean, first of all, are you really having fun? I mean, that's a question that, once you start to ask that question, I'd say that's probably a good hint. And I think most people do get to that point at some level with their gambling if they are developing a problem. Whether they like to see it directly or not, they are probably not getting the reward they once did, or they're having to do things above and beyond what they used to do to get that reward, spend more money and so on. So sometimes that's easier to see than people would care to look at. But as we said before, a lot of the signs and symptoms are there if you do know what to look for. Just preoccupation with the behavior, spending a lot of money, having people around you confront you about the behavior and try to offer their assistance and to warn you that you may be in some danger or problem area in your life. And it's really worth listening to those voices. And there is, of course, always good help available for people who do find themselves suffering with problems like this. And those solutions have been shown to be very effective.
About 30 seconds left. Talk about that help that is available for those dealing with problem gambling.
Sure. Well, I would recommend, obviously, if they're in the area, they can call ADAPT. Our number there is 541-492-0152. We have gambling counselors there that are certified by the state to provide a wide range of services. You can also call the statewide problem gambling line at 877-MY-LIMIT.
All right, Tom Sorrell is looking at problem gambling. Tom from ADAPT, thanks for being on today.
Thank you, Kyle.
1258 Inside Douglas County, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.